Hello, 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 hello. This is Interneted. I'm Michael Bird.
And I'm Rob Murgatroyd. Hello, everyone.
And we are back.
Yes, finally.
Again, we're back again. It was a false start, but then we're properly back. Rob and I needed much needed holidays. That's why we've been away for a little while.
We didn't go away together this time, very sadly.
No, we didn't. We should have done, shouldn't we? That would have saved...
Saved time. Saved the listeners.
Saved time and listeners. Anyway, welcome to our show about tech gadgets and the internet by two blokes who are always being asked how to fix most of it every time.
It's a complicated script, let's be honest. Not many can get through this. But that's right, Michael. On this show, we love to keep you informed with all the latest tech news and also the coolest and most interesting things from around the internet. You can think of the show as your indispensable guide for everything worth knowing about on the internet this week.
So, buckle up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show from two blokes in our spare bedrooms. This, dear listeners, is Interneted.
Alrighty.
Alrighty.
It's been a little while, hasn't it?
It has been a while.
Been a moment, as the kids would say. A hot minute. So it's been...
Is that what they say? Do they say a hot minute?
I mean, maybe I'm not a kid anymore. I'm probably not.
I don't think you are. I don't think you are. Rob, I mean, you are...
I'm clinging on to mid-20s at the moment.
You're significantly younger than me, and you were older than me when I first met you, if that makes sense.
I did take a mental age quiz when I was 14, and I got 40 years old, so...
That is not a surprise.
I'm growing into my age, I like to think.
I think you're very much growing into
your age.
Thank
you very much. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I said you're growing into your age.
Well, it's been a hot minute.
Down tootin'.
All right, you.
You little kids.
So what's...
Get off my porch. good, good.
Good right. times.
Anyway.
So lots of things have happened in the world of tech since we've been away. There's been some big announcements. There's been some little announcements.
There have been.
But we like to go through all of everything. Everything on the internet that we could tell you about.
All of everything.
All of everything. All of the time. Sifting through the double screen laptops and Now, in the script, I've written self-marked suitcases, which I'm not quite sure what that means. I think I meant to say self...
Smart. Smart?
Probably smart suitcases, because I saw one that could track you through the airport.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a self-guided suitcase, comma, smart suitcase.
Yeah.
Well, they combined the text, so it's now... Self-marked suitcase.
Self-marked, yeah. So,
self-marked you?
They're available now, if anyone wants to buy a self-marking suitcase.
They exist.
But that is not the news we're talking about this week. Michael, what have you seen over the last couple of weeks?
Well, Bobby Fly Guy.
That's me.
That's you. Yeah. That's the nickname.
I paid you to say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the John Lewis fridge department paid me to say that. Right, so first up, if you have been anywhere near any sort of news in the last few weeks, you may have heard of the brand spanking new iPhone 13. Woo! Rob, can I get a whoop whoop?
Oh, yes, you can, Michael. A whoop whoop.
Thanks.
What happened there?
Whoop whoop. It really came from the bottom of your chest, didn't it?
I'm going to give you it's a genuine of... one.
Oh, whoop, it was. Whoop. You really built that one up, didn't you?
I did.
So the iPhone 13, which some would say was underwhelming.
Most people would say that from what I've said.
Most people say it's underwhelming. I watched a few videos about it today and a lot of people were like, what was all the hype? There was hype that it was going to have satellite communication. So the phone would have basically like a satellite chip in it. So you would be able to use anywhere in the world. There were rumors that it would have no bezel, you know, and no notch.
No notch, yeah.
You know how the new iPhones have got little notches at the top. What was the other rumor? Anyway, none of those rumors were true. Nothing really happened.
Nothing happened.
All they really released was a, depending on which ones you look at, so there's the iPhone 13 and the iPhone 13 Pro. They had some iPhone 13 Pro had some camera upgrades. Mm-hmm. Nothing massive to write home about. They did this whole section on this cinematic video mode, which essentially is autofocus plus AI. It was the section was about 10 minutes, and I watched it. I was expecting it to be like, okay, and now we're going to, and it just didn't happen. Yeah, it was
nothing. So, and then they showed the sample of it as well, and you were like, oh, that's it. Okay.
So what, I guess? Yeah. There are some other cool things. So the phone has, the Pros have 120 hertz screens, which can increase and decrease refresh rate based on what you're looking at, which is all right,
that's
I guess.
The one that is important to me, because I've used an iPad with the same technology in it, and it does feel nice. It does make obviously an iPhone feel smooth anyway, but it just makes it feel extra smooth and fluid. So that's the biggest thing to me, but it's really quite minor.
You can now buy a 1 terabyte iPhone Pro, which is great, and they also shoot in ProRes video, which is basically uncompressed video, so you probably need a 1 terabyte phone for it. It was a bit disappointing, if I'm honest. I was kind of hoping for some more. I'm kind of in the market for a new phone. People were saying they should have just called it the iPhone 12s, but maybe it's because people are superstitious. They thought, we'll just get 13 out of the way and do like a bit of an incremental thing. And the most, you know what? I have a lot of respect for Apple. I think they make some really good devices. But the one thing that infuriates me, and I have to not get so worked up about it, is the stupid lightning port they insist
on keeping to put in their phones.
The iPad Mini, the new iPad Mini, which they announced the new iPad Mini, that has got a USB-C port in it, as do the proper iPads. Yep. But for some reason, they haven't changed it on the iPhone.
Wow.
And they need to get rid of that as soon as possible.
So outdated compared to everything else.
It's an environmental disaster. They need to just get rid of it. Because USB-C is the standard.
Everything's using USB-C. Laptops, phones, headphones, everything. So come on, Apple.
Get on with it.
But this was sort of expected in a way. I know a lot of rumors were flying around about cool things that could potentially happen, but Apple tend to run in a TikTok, not to quote the application, a TikTok way of developing products. So they have a tick, which is a big change, which was the iPhone 12. They've changed the design. And then the tock, which sort of refines that further, I guess. So
I mean, that's what Intel do. Intel use the TikTok method, aren't they? But yeah, I mean, there's always next year. I think I've spent the year watching disappointing product releases. Oh, there's a smart home product I really like called Nano Leaf. They make the smart light bulbs that support Thread, which is this kind of new way of communicating with smart home devices, low latency, all that stuff. And they had this they really hyped up this event they were going to hold, and they didn't release anything in it. And it basically, you come away and you're just like, you've wasted an hour of my time. And I came away with Apple's event being like, you basically wasted an hour of my time. There was nothing really that interesting in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of the year for that, not just in technology, but everything really, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're about to talk about something in a minute, but, you know, every sort of industry is saying, you know, next year will be the year that we do a lot of cool, innovative things. This year was...
I guess the pandemic has played a part in that. Yeah. Let me just quickly wrap up this then. So they released a 6th generation iPad Mini, which is pretty cool. It has actually got some quite big upgrades, which is pretty cool. So it uses the A15 Bionic chip, which also the iPhone 13 has got. It has Wi-Fi 6, 5G. It has, I think it has a, it doesn't use Face ID. I think it has a fingerprint reader on the side, which is pretty cool. It's like the iPad mini now matches the style of the normal iPads. Mm-hmm. So it's all, you know, the iPads. They also released a new Apple Watch Series 7, which has got a slightly bigger screen. It's dust resistant, water resistant, all that stuff. That's about it, really.
M2 chips. Are they going to do an event later on in November for that one?
That's what they are rumouring. Mm. Yeah, the M2 chips, so there's nothing about computers, nothing about computers. Yeah. It was just iPhones, which is what they usually do in September. Yeah. And then iOS 15, I think, as we record this, has just been released, which is the operating system which goes with the new iPhones. So that will be coming out, but we talked about that in a previous episode.
We did.
Right, that is enough of that. What have you got?
Quite enough of that.
Quite enough of that.
So something else that happened while we were away. PlayStation, my boys. They had
An
event, their PlayStation Showcase, which is historically where they show exciting things. Last year is when they announced the PS5, so they tend to go for big things here. And this was a gaming showcase, so the upcoming games that are coming out on the PS5, because 2021 has been a bit of a lackluster one, I think, for games. As you said, it's been a lot of people talking about things that are going to happen next year rather than things that are going to come out this year, which is true of what this event was. But having said that, there were some interesting things that came out. So a developer called Insomniac Games.
What do they make? What are they famous for?
They made the Spider-Man game recently. They also made Ratchet and Clank. They also Spyro back in the day.
Yeah.
They have announced two new games, so one being Spider-Man 2, so the full sequel to the original Spider-Man on PlayStation 4. It's very exciting for me. I love that game. They also announced a Wolverine game in the same style, which is very interesting. It was very unexpected. No one had really thought this was going to come out. They only showed a small clip of it, no actual gameplay, but people are quite intrigued by that.
That's cool. I like that.
The next one that was announced was Gran Turismo 7, which I think has been in development for about 50 years at this point. It's been delayed a long, long time. But they finally set a date for the 4th of March 2022 for a release. And it's exciting because I think car games are often one of the best showcases of the sort of graphical performance of a new console, which we haven't necessarily seen yet for the new generation of consoles. So that's quite exciting to see all the new lighting technologies and graphical 4K doodads going on. So that's exciting. And then the big one was God of War Ragnarok, which they teased last year, but they have finally said it'll definitely be coming out next year, and they showed us more gameplay and people are very excited about that. It was one of the best games I think on the PlayStation 4, so anyone that's keen as that game will probably love this one.
Is Ragnarok related to Marvel?
It's not related to Marvel. So the original God of War for the PlayStation 4 was set in the Norse mythology era, and Ragnarok is an event from Norse mythology. The end of the world, I think, is. So probably a cheery game.
Oh, very cheery. Very cheery. Lovely.
Lovely.
2022 looks like it's going to be a big year for games. Isn't that also when the new Breath of the Wild 2, the game that we always mention, is that when it's going to be released?
Allegedly going to come out in 2022. I think, loads and loads of games are coming 2022. It's going to be a busy one for me and my wallet.
Your wallet. So, Rob, you and I are quite big fans of reading books.
I love them. Love a read.
Don't laugh at us. We're not reading books. What do you read on? Do you read on your phone? On a Kindle?
I don't read on the phone. I do read on a Kindle, Kindle Paperwhite, to be precise.
Yeah, I've got Kindle Paperwhite. And my Kindle Paperwhite is getting pretty old. Mm. It's so slow that for the last 2 weeks, I have been trying to pick a new book to read, and I've been falling asleep whilst trying to pick a book. So my bedtime reading for the last 2 weeks has been the Kindle
app store listings,
because it takes so long for the pages
to load. Thought you were gonna say it took 2 weeks to turn a page in your book. That's a cliffhanger.
It does take a long time to turn a page. It just got all of a sudden got very, very slow. I'm hoping they haven't kind of done an Apple and
planned obsolescence.
Annoy me. So I'm always interested in Kindles, although saying that, so they have leaked on their own website.
Sneaky.
Two devices that they're going to be launching soon. So there is the Kindle Paperwhite and the Kindle Paperwhite Signature Edition. So they have a normal 6.8-inch e-ink display, which is the displays that make it look like you're reading paper and not reading an LCD screen. And it's going to be IPX8 waterproof, which I think current Paperwhite is. Wi-Fi connectivity, cellular probably, same 300 ppi pixels per inch resolution, which is good. Means that you kind of can't see the pixels. It just looks it's clean. A piece of paper. Yeah. And yeah, that's about it really. Yeah. I think they are pretty good. They're little incremental updates. However, are Amazon going to get rid of the micro USB connector? Can you see there's a recurring theme here? So they've been using the micro USB connector, which is that little connector that is quite prevalent on older Android devices and generally kind of old consumer electronics. However, if you're selling a product in 2020 or 2021, you should really just have USB-C. Yep. The reason being is USB-C is reversible. And it's so much more commonplace, isn't it? So here's hoping they have not done an Apple and they've put in USB-C.
I didn't know they hadn't upgraded to that already. I think I bought my Kindle, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago and it had micro USB. Yeah. So I assumed that they would have moved on by now. But fingers crossed. As someone who is potentially in the market for a new Kindle Paperwhite, which one do you think you'd go for from the leaks?
Well, yeah, I think I'd probably go for the the Signature Edition has got more storage space on it. I have no reason to have loads of storage space, because when I'm reading a Kindle is usually when I'm either at home or in a hotel or somewhere with Wi-Fi, or if I haven't got Wi-Fi, I'll just download a load of books beforehand. But usually you've got some sort of cellular connection or Wi-Fi connection. So I'd probably just go for the basic Kindle Paperwhite. Waterproof would be very lovely because the one I've currently got isn't waterproof. And the thought of being able to sit by a pool on a lilo not worry about falling in the
pool.
Read
in the bath. That sounds nice.
Very idyllic. Very reading in the bath. That's what normal people do, isn't it? Read in the bath. So yeah, that's probably what I'd go for.
Cool. Right. Well, something else we both enjoy doing is listening to music. And
we do enjoy listening to music. We often send each other
the latest ABBA album that we're listening to.
Yes. Oh, that is brilliant.
It's very true. So Spotify is giving us all a new feature which will make it easier potentially to find new music, which is something we all probably enjoy doing. So they're releasing a feature called Enhance. And it'll be a button at the top of any of the playlists that you have curated or that you follow. Mm-hmm. And what it'll do is we'll add in, as you're shuffling through your playlist, it'll just drop in songs that it thinks are relevant and recommended to that specific playlist. So not just your music taste overall, but that playlist. And it'll give you a really easy way of identifying the songs. So apparently the screen will go sparkly and green when it's an enhanced song popping up. Just in case you weren't sure it wasn't one of your songs, and we'll give you an easy way to tap to add that to your playlist, which I think is lovely. And it also gives you the option to just turn off enhanced if you don't want any suggestions and you just want to listen to your playlists regularly.
I'm a big fan of this because one of my biggest criticisms of Spotify, and I guess like streaming music, and actually let's get a bit existential here, kind of the auto suggest AI features that you get on things like YouTube and stuff, is it just becomes a bit of an echo chamber. Like it's really hard to seek out something different to what you have. Like I quite like indie music, but sometimes I quite like listening to something different. But all Spotify will deliver me is
indie music,
the same. And I feel like I'm listening to the same like 15 songs just constantly. So you have to really go out of your way to try and like
actively
seek something
do it,
different.
Don't you? And I think this will definitely make it easier. You start a playlist with one or two songs that you like from a different genre, and it will recommend more and more, and you can adding to it and building up a library of things that you never would have heard of otherwise. So,
yeah, I think they realised that you kind of Spotify are using their AI engines to some good and to try and do something with it. I mean, obviously, it's going to keep people on the platform. Now, don't get me started about Spotify and podcasting. Well, I mean, this show is hosted on a Spotify platform, so we can't say too much.
We love Spotify.
Yeah, maybe not podcasts. I don't like how Spotify are making some podcasts exclusive only to Spotify. I don't like that. Yeah. That goes against everything that podcasting is, if that makes sense. It kind of,
yeah. You are the voice of podcasting as the resident professional.
Hey, you were a podcast producer.
I was, but now I just talk on them. I don't produce them. So.
Oh, you don't need to produce them anymore. You're so famous.
I mean, I'm the talent now, aren't I?
You're the talent.
I'm the diva that comes along. I only do this podcast because you send me 4,000 blue M&Ms every week.
Yeah, and natural spring water from an endangered glacier.
An endangered
glacier. Chip it away at it for you, yeah.
Yeah, so I hope you're worth it, listeners. Hope you enjoy the show.
That went off on a bit of a tangent. Anyway.
What else have we seen this week?
Hey, Rob, you know how I like aeroplanes?
You love aeroplanes, yes you do.
And how I like electricity.
Yep, we all love electricity.
Hey, some people don't. You probably heard of the company called Rolls-Royce.
Yeah, sound familiar.
Some would say, Rob, you would definitely say this, it really rolls off the tongue.
Nice. That's, big fan of that.
Rob Murgatroyd joke there. Rolls-Royce, not the car company, the company that makes jet engines. If you've been on an aeroplane, you have probably ridden on a Rolls-Royce engine. It's probably powered you to wherever destination you've been to, obviously before the end times. So Rolls-Royce are realizing that the market of jet engines may end at some point. Mm-hmm. So they have been putting money alongside the British government into electric aeroplanes.
Wow.
So they built this, and I have to say, it is such a cool looking aeroplane. Like, not usually a big fan of I quite like commercial jets. I quite like how they look, or military aircraft. Mm-hmm. I think they look quite cool, like little light aircraft. I'm not a massive fan of, but this one looks very cool. Looks a little bit like a Spitfire.
It does.
And it's not really a Spitfire, but it looks a little bit. It's got that same kind of mean look to it.
It does look aggressive, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They basically created the most power-dense battery pack ever assembled for an aircraft, using 6,000 cell batteries with a 3-motor powertrain that delivers 400 kilowatts. And eventually the aircraft will be able to go speeds of over 300 miles an hour. But anyway, what they did this time was they flew this aircraft, which was called the Spirit of Innovation.
Oh, yes.
That sounds like a train, doesn't it? And it completed a 15-mile flight on electric power. Now, there have been previous electric aircraft, so then it's not the first electric aircraft. But the fact that a big company like Rolls-Royce is developing powertrains, I guess what they call them, is pretty cool. And they also announced that they're working with a Swedish company, maybe a Swedish airline. I can't quite remember what it says. But they're working with them to deliver a passenger aircraft in the next, I think, next 10 years.
Wow.
Which is all electric.
That's crazy.
Which is cool. That's what we want to see. We want to be seeing that. We want to be seeing electric aircraft. Now, the big problem, as you may know, with electric aircraft is weight.
Yes.
They're so heavy. Batteries are so heavy. Basically, what you can't do is just keep piling loads of batteries in, because at some point, there'll be too many batteries to give you enough lift. Mm. And so you won't be able to fly very far. So that's always a challenge. So Rolls-Royce, I had a little read on their press release. Maybe I'm just regurgitating their press release here. But anyway, they're working with a couple of companies that are, number one, developing better batteries, but number two, which I thought was really interesting, is developing more efficient electric engines. So therefore, you don't need to use as much power to go as far. That, I think, is where the innovation is going to be. So you keep the same amount of batteries. Obviously, the batteries get better and better,
yeah,
but actually you develop better engines. So anyway, I think that's really quite exciting.
That's very exciting. I didn't know that they could fly for 15 minutes. I assumed that they'd go up and down in a matter of seconds. That's very cool that they're up there.
It is pretty cool. It is pretty cool. Yeah, and if they can go at 300 miles an hour, that's pretty good as well.
You don't need to be up there long.
There we go. Don't need to be up there long.
Wowzers. Right, well, my final bit of news from the week is Amazon again. So they have you seen the Amazon One palm scanning technology? It's what they use in certain stores that they've got. And
I think we talked about it, and it's basically the worst thing ever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's people are questioning the purpose of it, because, you know, you can get tickets and things on your phone now. That, why would you need to scan it, your palm? Why do they need that information? Anyway, Amazon's One Palm scanner is now used for entertainment spaces and tickets to stadiums, which again is driving people up the wall, because they said, we've got your ticket on your phone, why do you need your palm, why do you need that data? But Amazon is continuing to push out this technology as far as possible. So currently only rolled out in America, as you might expect. And this was used as ticket entry to the Red Rocks venue, which is an outdoor venue. So
in Seattle, would it be near ooh. Colorado, Red Rocks Amphitheater. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I've seen some photos of that.
It's a very cool venue.
It's really cool.
But I guess if you had to get in now, you'd have to use your palm. So.
Why? Just like the last thing I want is a private company having my palm prints. Ugh.
So the article that I'm reading here says the company is not likely to make money from the Amazon One, so instead they're interested in the data it can collect. So
shock.
You know, technology for interesting purposes there. Be on the lookout for ticket venues in the future requiring your palm to get in.
Well, there we go. All right. Now, Rob, do you have a phone that does wireless, that has wireless charging?
I actually don't. Mine's quite old now, so it doesn't do that.
All right. Well, I've got an iPhone 10, which has got they call it Qi wireless charging. Yes. It's Qi, and you get these wireless chargers in quite a few places. You get them in new cars, and you can get wireless chargers for home. I have one here in front of me. The challenge with it is that it still takes up space on your desk, so
it still requires a cable to power the surface. Yeah,
and it's clutters your desk. Doesn't necessarily look great, but it's quite cool. Now IKEA, those innovative bunch, they have developed what is, as far as I have seen, maybe let's just call it a widespread. A mass market wireless Qi charger that will sit under your desk as long as it's wood or plastic. So basically, they're creating these. It's basically something that looks about the same size as not a hockey puck, same size as a very big, maybe a small tablet.
Okay,
maybe a big phone. And it, as long as your desk is less than the website was very American. It was like 7/8 of an inch. What is 7/8?
How many
of
fractions
an inch?
Of a yard is that?
Yeah. How many halfpennies is it? So I think it's about 2.2 centimeters, okay. Something like that. So as long as it's thinner than that, you can basically stick it under your desk, and then as long as you know on your desk where it is, I think they give you a little sticker that you can put on your desk. You can basically rest your phone at that particular point on your desk and it will charge
it. That's cool.
Now, the advantage of that is you don't then take up desk space, and you can have your phone charger, let's say, next to your mouse pad where you maybe wouldn't want to have it before because it kind of gets in the way. Or if you haven't got a mouse pad, you can just have it where maybe your mouse would be, if that's convenient for you. So I quite like this technology. I work from home and I've got a desk with like a little cable tidy around the back. Like, I quite like a simple, clean looking table desk thing. And I'm looking at my desk, it's not simple and clean and tidy because unfortunately you have to have
cable management is key for your desk setup. So
it's key.
I love this. I love this. It's great.
So
why haven't they done this before?
I don't know. Well, I guess it's a bit of a, you probably needs to be quite a powerful charger. Now, the charging pad, as you would expect with IKEA, is relatively cheap. So it's $40 US dollars, which is about 30 quid. So when it lands in the UK, maybe expect it to be maybe 30, 35 quid, something like that. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
And Yeah, as long as your phone has got wireless charging built into it, it will work.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there we go. Right, anything else?
No, what a roundup. What a time it's been for us in technology.
What a time it's been. I mean, there has been other bits of news, but we didn't have time to go into it, such as the first private human flight, actual flight to space. None of this Jeffrey Bezos thing.
We do talk about space quite a lot. We do talk about space.
Maybe we can save that. Maybe we can save that for next time. Well, about 3 weeks off. We save that for next time. Okay, well, that, I guess, then is it for our tech roundup. And we'll be back with part two of Interneted right after this.
Alrighty, welcome back, everyone.
Alrighty.
You love it when I say alrighty, so I like to drop
it
in.
Oh, I do. I really do. Yeah,
you really do. Alrighty, well, it's time for the part of the show that we like to call...
Here are the cool things we have found on the internet this week.
Ooh, getting a live rendition time. Yes. Oh, yes. Here we are.
That's the tune. That's the tune we've been missing, isn't it? Yep. Well, as the name of this feature suggests, we've been weeding through the web, navigating the net, scouring search engines, getting our fix of Netflix, having an oogle of Google, looking at a ream of memes, a throw of DuckDuckGo, a regroup of YouTube, and a mine of Vines.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Thinking on the fly.
Yeah, the service got discontinued in 2017, as we found out before the show. To find the coolest things on the internet for you, dear listener. Rob, my dear friend, what are the rules?
The rules, well, it's like the Wild West out here, Michael. Each week we bring the coolest thing or things that we found on the internet this week. And apart from that, there are no rules. So anything goes, absolutely anything. Wow. As long as you can find it on the internet, we can talk about it. So it could be a funny video, it could be another funny video, followed by another funny video, which is usually what we do before the show.
Yeah, before we recorded the show, I think we probably spent about half an hour watching Vines.
We did.
Which was...
It's good times.
I think time well spent, to be honest.
It's life enhancing. It's life enriching. It's, incredible. I'll keep you going. Talk about anything and everything. Michael, what's been cool on the internet this week for you?
Okay, so I quite like recommending TV shows, and I'm going to recommend this TV show because I watched it last night on BBC iPlayer.
Okay.
So it's on the internet. Okay, it's on the internet.
I agree.
Okay, is that okay? Are you happy with that?
I'll let you off.
Excellent. Okay, so you know the TV show called... What is the TV show called? It is called The Bodyguard.
Yes, I remember that.
Do you know the TV show called Line of Duty? A little show called Line of Duty?
You may have heard of it.
So the same company, production company that made those two shows. Those two shows have that one actor, don't they? What's his name? I want to say Richard Madden.
Richard Madden.
That's not Richard Madden. Is it Richard Madden? Maybe it isn't. No, I don't know if it was Richard
Madden.
Is he
Madden, in the Line of Duty? The Line of Duty?
No, I don't think he is. I don't think he is the Line of Duty. maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Anyway, in this TV show, there is a chap called... What's his name? I'm now going to... Martin Compston. He was in Line of Duty. He was in Line of Duty. He wasn't in the other one. Anyway, Martin Compston.
Okay. What's Martin been doing?
Oh, well, he was in this TV show called Vigil, and that's the show I want to bring to you this week. So ignore the last 2 minutes of me trying to remember people's names. Just totally forget that. Let's start from the scratch. What I'd like to bring to you this week is a television show called Vigil, which is made by the production company that makes Line of Duty and The Bodyguard, and it has a very similar feel and style to it. Ooh. And it is... I really like it. Now, the reviews have been a bit... I read some of the reviews on IMDb and they're like, it's not really that realistic. on the Her Majesty's submarine, it wouldn't happen. We kind of put that aside. I don't know a lot about naval submarines.
How do they know a lot about naval submarines?
Well, I know, they're supposed to be secret, so I promptly reported them to the authorities. Don't worry. No, so let me give you the overview of the series. So it's set on a fictional Vanguard class nuclear power ballistic missile submarine named HMS Vigil. So the Vanguard class of submarines are the nuclear deterrent in the UK. They take the somewhat controversial Trident missiles. So that's the kind of setting. They're on the submarine. And what happens is a Scottish fishing trawler goes missing. Oof. And then somebody on the submarine dies. And because the submarine was in British waters, wasn't international waters, the Scottish Police Service are set to investigate, have to investigate it. Because the submarine can't surface for all that long, because if it's found, it's not a nuclear deterrent, it has to be hidden. They basically fly an inspector, Inspector Amy Silver, played by Saran Jones, who's also in lots of stuff. She gets flown onto this submarine, and she basically lives on this submarine, and it kind of goes under the water, and like she can't contact her colleagues at the Scottish Police Service, but they can contact her. So they send the messages and things like that.
That sounds very intriguing.
It's very, very good.
So you say it along the lines of the vibe of a Bodyguard or a Line of Duty, sort of fairly gritty, but sort of it hooks you and really brings you in. Nice.
And it has got a really good cast as well. And it's so many like storylines weaving into it. There's so many, you know, there's this whole thing about the Trident missile. There's the fact that the Navy want to cover stuff up. MI5 get involved. It is really, really, really good.
Is this an ongoing series or is this fully out online? Can you watch them all?
It's not fully out. Five episodes have been released. They get released on Sundays at 9 o'clock. So that's when you can watch it. So the last episode I think is going out next Sunday, but you can watch the first five episodes on BBC iPlayer. I'm pretty sure you can watch it. You know, they last for 30 days.
Yeah.
The first episode, I think, came out at the end of August. So if you just catch it, you can watch it.
Lovely. That sounds very cool.
But yeah, there are lots of criticism that, I mean, if you're an ex-submarine commander, you may find it a little bit frustrating to watch.
That is the majority of our audience. So
mainly submarine commanders. Yeah. Well, you know, you can get this podcast on Her Majesty's Submarines. So, for all my homies HMS Vigil.
The John Lewis Fridge Department also sponsor all of our submarines as well. Is that?
Yeah, they do. They do. They got that.
They have to play this out over and over again.
They have to play this out. When they open the fridges in the submarine, it just plays an excerpt from the show. It's a bit like, as the doors open and close. The thing I really like about the show is that it feels like this like pressure cooker environment. Like there's all this tension between all the different members on the submarine and this police officer that's on it. And, you know, she befriends one person on the submarine and then they turn out that actually they were lying to her and then she has to befriend somebody else. And the captain doesn't want her there, but then they will have to work together. And it's just the way it's put together. Every episode is just everything changes. Each episode is brilliant, brilliant.
Amazing.
So I can really recommend it. Really enjoyed
it. Well, let's wrap this podcast up and I can go and watch it.
Please do. Right, what have you got?
So mine might be maybe the most loosely connected one to the internet we've had so far. And it's only because I read a news article about it. On the internet.
So,
you know.
Hang on. Did you read it in the newspaper?
I did not. I read it.
Did you read?
Actually, learnt about it through an aeroplane banner. You know, the banners that pull behind an aeroplane. It's usually where I get most of my news from.
You're like, what? What's that? Hang on. Just wait for the aeroplane.
It's really long because they give you the full article on it as well. Stand there for quite a while watching. My local airport told me about the. I'm quite into climate change. I know that sounds weird.
Big fan of it.
Big supporter of it. heating up the world. I'm a bit cold.
Yeah.
So I love following.
What I find frustrating is none of those big companies are really taking on your idea of a coal-fired car. That's what I'm frustrated about. The fact that you approached every major car company and they're just not interested.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got legs.
I appreciate your support on that one. Or the forest burning heat up Antarctica campaign. It didn't go down very well.
The old deforestation paintball site.
One day they'll get through. But until that point, people are still going to try and fight climate change. And something I saw in the news this week was quite interesting. So the largest direct air capture plant has now been launched. If you don't know what it is, fair enough. Do you know what a direct capture air capture plant is, Michael?
What I'm hoping it's not doing is I'm hoping it's not capturing all the oxygen, so there's just more CO2 in the environment. I'm hoping it captures CO2.
It does capture oxygen. It's a bit like when the pandemic first hit and everyone had lots of toilet roll hidden at home. So billionaires have decided to store the oxygen for themselves. That's not true, everyone. This is a carbon capture storage. So it's essentially I describe it as a big vacuum cleaner. It hoovers up all the carbon from the air and pumps it into a storage technology. So they essentially compress down all the carbon into a very, basically into a rock, which they can then bury and is stored away. So it takes it out of the atmosphere. So this is the largest ever direct air capture plant, which has been opened in Iceland. It is called the Orca, which I think is very cool. So this is the largest in the world, and it can currently draw down 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide annually, which isn't actually a huge amount in the grand scheme of things. It's about the equivalent of 790 passenger vehicles, they'll pump out every year. So not huge, but you know, there's only one of a few of these sorts of setups in the world. But if they became more ubiquitous, obviously that would take out more carbon from the atmosphere. Every little helps, I think, with the fight against climate change. Everything and everything we can do, everything and anything we can do,
all of the time,
is really important. It looks cool as well. You know, Iceland have got a lot of geothermal plants and sort of innovative technology there. So I think this fits right in, and it's just cool.
Big question: does it suck up the bees?
Does it suck up the bees? That is their number one query. And I thought
on their FAQ on their website.
Yeah.
Number one, does it suck up the bees? Number two, where are you?
And they say, we're in Iceland and there are no bees. So no, it doesn't suck up bees, which is quite important, I think.
It's very important.
Very important. Yeah. So the air is sucked in, passed over a special solid sorbent filter, which traps the carbon dioxide. And is then compressed at a very high temperature to basically form a rock. Which they then put underground. So, yeah, very exciting.
That's pretty cool. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much for bringing that. Okay, anything else? Anything else you saw on the internet that was...
No, my local airway's been quite quiet, so I haven't really had much other news coming through. What about you? Anything recently?
Apart from us spending 15 minutes watching Vine...
That was the coolest thing I've seen on the internet this week.
That was, doesn't always quite work, will be quite so well for radio. Okay, well, I guess if that's that, then Rob, it is time for us to end the show. Anyway, so thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Interneted. We do hope you've enjoyed it. Internet is hosted, produced, and written by Rob Murgatroyd and me, Mickey Bizzle.
Nice.
AKA Michael Bird.
I love that we haven't changed the script for that. You plow through. Mickey Bizzle.
If as is.
Why change what is already perfect? That's right, everyone. We release every episode. We release new episodes every week. So make sure you don't miss out on our next episode and hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google's Podcast, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to give us a tubular 5-star rating. Ting, 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 ting. Thank you very much, everyone.
Wow, what was the ting, 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 ting?
Just came to me. I don't know. Just came to me.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time for the next episode of Interneted. Bye-bye.
Bye.